ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are reading from Canto 10, Chapter 11, the chapter entitled The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna, text number 15 to 17. So we'll read out text 15. Krishna Krishna Arvindaksha Tatehi Stanam Pivo Alam Vihare Kshuta Shanta Krida Shranto Si Putraka Krishna Krishna Arvindaksha. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Mother Yashoda said, "My dear son Krishna, lotus-eyed Krishna, come here and drink the milk of my breast. My dear darling, you must be very tired because of hunger and the fatigue of playing so long. There is no need to play anymore." So we have two more verses. So I'll just read out the 16th and 17th verse. हे राम गच्छ ताताशु सानुज कुलनंदन प्रातरेव कृताहारस्तद् भवान् भोक्तुर् मरति अर्हति। माय डियर बलदेव, बेस्ट ऑफ आवर फैमिली, प्लीज कम इमीडिएटली विथ योर यंगर ब्रदर कृष्णा। यू बोथ एट इन द मॉर्निंग एंड नाउ यू ओट टू ईट समथिंग मोर। टेक्स्ट नंबर 17। प्रतीक्षते त्वा दार्शाः भोक्षमाणो ब्रजाधिप एहावयो प्रियं देहि स्वगृहान् यात बालका। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Nanda Maharaj, the king of Raja, is now waiting to eat. O my dear son Balram, he is waiting for you. Therefore, come back to please us. All the boys playing with you and Krishna should now go to their homes. Purport. It appears that Nand Maharaj regularly took his food with his two sons Krishna and Balram. Yashoda told the other boys, "Now you should go to your homes. Father and son generally sit together." So Mother Yashoda requested Krishna and Balram to return, and she advised the other boys to go home so that their parents would not have to wait for them. So, Hare Krishna. I'd like to seek blessings from all the assembled Vaishnavas so I can speak something sensible for my own purification, especially from His Grace Shankarshan Prabhu and Her Grace Sachi Mata. So the storyline goes like Mata Rohini and Yashoda had cooked the lunch prasadam for lunch for Krishna Balram, and Mata Rohini had gone to call Krishna Balram who were playing at the banks of Yamuna with their friends, but she was unable to call them. So she sent Yashoda that they didn't come by my calling, so you are so affectionate to them, so please you go. They will definitely come when you will call them. So Mata Yashoda goes to banks of Yamuna and she's calling out Krishna's name, "Krishna, Krishna, please come." And simply by calling the names of Krishna, that affection which she had for Krishna takes the form of the milk from her breast. And the milk flows out from her breast. That is the affection of Mata Yashoda for Krishna. So she is calling Krishna, and simply by speaking the names of Krishna, the ocean of affectionate emotions takes the form of the milk. and that milk flows from her breast. So she's telling Krishna that please come and please drink this milk. Actually, nowadays if you see, there are mothers who also have the special affection for Krishna. They all have special affection. But Mata Yashoda was unparalleled. She was having a special mercy from Krishna. Actually, in the 9th chapter, there is a verse which says that, in 9th chapter of same canto, it says that even Lord Brahma, the creator, was the son of Krishna. And Lord Shiva, as Prabhupada mentions, was a friend of Krishna. And Lord Krishna's consort even, she who resides on the chest of Krishna, they were also not that fortunate to get the mercy of Krishna, what Mata Yashoda has got. So Mata Yashoda's love for Krishna was so special. But today's mother, they have that special love for their child. But still, sometimes they struggle to get the breast milk for their kids because of that lack of affection. Milk doesn't come out of the vitamins or calcium or iron. It is only the affection of mother which gives the rise to the milk in the breast. Even Krishna was not sucking the breast also, and the milk was flowing from the breast of Mother Yashoda. That was the affection of Mother Yashoda for Krishna. So Maiya was realizing that that milk was flowing. So she called Krishna and she was telling that, please come and drink this milk. But Krishna was not listening. She tried only calling names. It didn't work. She told him to come and drink the milk. That also didn't work. She's expressing the worry that you and Balramji will be tired of playing. You have been playing from morning. That fatigue of trial, fatigue must have made you tired. So please come. Please come, and you might be hungry also. Please take this, come to have the meal at home. So, but Krishna was not listening. He was not paying attention to Yashoda. In spite of she was pleading so much. And Mata Yashoda then says that typical word that all the mothers say, that patent word. No need to play. Come back. Almost every mother must have, but no response from Krishna. So Mata realized that Krishna is so naughty, he will not listen from me. Now she is addressing Balramji. She is addressing Balramji and she is telling that Krishna is small, he is young, he is mischievous, he is not listening, but you are elder to him. You are intelligent. And she is addressing him as best of our family. She is telling him, best of our family, please with you and come to take prasadam, take food with food at home. But then that also didn't work. None of them came, not Krishna also and no Balram also, because they were enjoying playing with the cowherd boys, that they were so engrossed in that playing that they didn't want to come back home. So now Mata Yashoda had used all her means to call. She actually buttered Balramji, she did everything, but nothing worked. So, and ultimately she is telling, actually normally kids don't listen to mothers, but when the name of father comes, they are disciplined. So she is now saying that Nand Maharaj is waiting for you, the king of Raja, he is waiting for you. So at least by that threat of father, they might come. So she requested them that Nand Maharaj is waiting for you, please come and take lunch with him, because he is waiting for you. It's not good to make your father wait. So please come. But then also, they don't listen. They don't listen to Mother Yashoda. She tried all her means. She was so patient. She was so many times she was pleading, but she didn't lose her anger. She was so patiently, she was requesting mother, calling the child once or twice. If he doesn't listen, immediately she uses the force, either physically or by threatening him, they pull them. But Mata here, she knows that Krishna can be bound by only love, and that only can bring him here. So then ultimately, she is using this last weapon. She is telling that all of you stop playing. Not Ram, they might think that we will lose something, the game or something, or we will miss something, so they might not come. So now all of you stop playing. All the boys, you also go to your homes and take lunch with your parents. She is requesting them, and she told them. So here it's recommended, Prabhupada writes in the purport that Krishna Balaram, even Nand Maharaj used to take food with their meals. So if you see the dietitians and naturopathies, they also recommend that the family should take food together. But that is only for the maybe physical or at the most mental well-being. But taking prasadam at home with the family gives the spiritual benefit also. So that is why Krishna and Balaram also used to take prasadam with mother, with Father Nand Maharaj. In the modern day parenting also, they give the seminar. They say that at least one meal a day a family should take together. But the lifestyle which we are living in Bombay and especially in the cities, it's very difficult for the parents to have meal with the kids. It's forget once a day, once or twice a week is also very rare. And that also stuns out sometimes in the restaurant, which is not a prasad. So that is the gift of the modern so-called urban development, what we have given to our kids. Once Arudha Mataji had come to our temple and she was giving the seminar on homeschooling and parenting. And one of the Matajis, she asked the question to Arudha Mataji that we have so many devotional services in our temple that we don't get enough time for our kids. And Arudha Mataji gave a beautiful answer. In fact, she asked the question. She said, is raising children in Krishna consciousness not a devotional service? It was a real slap on the face of the parent who believe that preaching Krishna consciousness is important than raising children in Krishna consciousness. Actually, if you see, your preaching won't affect if you are not practicing it. If you are not practicing to raise Krishna consciousness, Krishna conscious children with your responsibility, your preaching won't work. Once Radha Gopinath Prabhu, recently he was giving class and he was quoting one Christian priest who says, preach, 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 and if necessary, sometimes speak. So what is that? Your action should speak louder than your voice, words. Actually, if you see, the people get attracted by seeing the Krishna consciousness family happy in Krishna consciousness. Simply your philosophy and words won't attract them. The practical demonstration of Krishna consciousness, the happy family of Krishna consciousness, that attracts the most. Ultimately, people like peace and happiness. So that if they see that devotee of Krishna are always happy with the family, they get attracted and take to Krishna consciousness. So to make this, first and foremost, we should spend time with our kids. That actually we are missing. Because we don't accept the responsibility which we have taken. Rishabhdev tells in the 5th canto of Bhagavatam, Guru na shashyat, swajano na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat, devam na tachyan, na patit cha sasyan, namo yachedya samupetam rityam. One who cannot deliver his dependent from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. So one should not take the responsibility if he is not able to justify that service of becoming a parent. In Gita also Krishna writes, in the purport Prabhupada writes that one is not allowed to indulge in sex if he is not able to beget a Krishna conscious child. So you are allowed to have the sex affairs only if you are able to raise your child in Krishna consciousness. To raise a child in a normal proper behavior and intellect also take a lot of effort, and what to speak of raising him in Krishna consciousness. There is an African proverb It says that it takes a whole village to raise a child. That is the effort what is put to raise a child. So, but today's parents, they are small families. And even in that small families, they have small time. They don't have time for their parent, for their kids. And in fact, in the parenting also, they say sometimes that when the kid grows up little, when he's in nearby his teenage, you should give him some space. But what space actually? Giving space is not to make him independent. Giving space, in the name of giving space, people are hiding their deficiency of time. They just give their child away to the tuition classes, indulges in. Giving space means to just give his, to express his whatever feelings he is going through. That is real giving space. And not just leave him. But that is actually the happening, that all the parents, they just give that the laptop, the mobiles and the gadgets, that they get engaged in that and the kids don't disturb them in their day-to-day activity. That is what it is given. That is this feel that this is giving space. That is not giving space. You are spoiling your child, in fact, by giving all that. And in fact, in the vacations and holidays, the many parents, they complain that it's very difficult to engage their kids. And that is why they give that DVDs and videos and CDs and they get engaged in that and they don't disturb. But that is not the right way to engaging them with all this. Mainly, you can engage them in positive activities. And for them, that time is not there with the parents. And that is why they give all these things to them. But actually, these gadgets and this comfort, they don't make them happy. What makes them happy is the time which is given by parent to them. That love and affection which is given by parent to them. That makes them happy. It is not these gadgets and artificial things which will make them happy. But the parents think that I want to give my kid the very comfortable, all the things in the world, what we were not able to get, I'll give it to my child so he'll be happy. Actually, people, many people say that in my childhood I was not able to use all this, but now I'll give everything to my child. But that is not right. The comforts and the facilities won't make your child intelligent or won't give him the good grades. Actually, in Vedas, it is mentioned for human life, the four aspects, dharma, artha, kama and moksha, have their own time. And it should not prematurely come. The younghood, till boyhood to younghood, it's meant for dharma and austerity and religion it is meant for. So the kids or the youngsters are to be, they should perform the austerities to get the knowledge. And when they grow up from younghood to middle age, they are supposed to do kama and artha. So earn money and spend it, that is enjoy it. That's in. And after that, in the last stage, after the middle age, they are supposed to be in for ultimate salvation, that is moksha. So that is what is required. They should perform the austerities. The kids should perform the austerities. The knowledge cannot come without austerities. The knowledge has to come with austerity only. With the air-conditioned rooms, air-conditioned classrooms, that doesn't give the good grades. And if you see the board results, the children who are studied in the street lights, they are the toppers and not the ones who are studied in the air-conditioned classrooms. Actually, if you see, when he was born from the navel of the Lord, he was bewildered. And he also heard the voice, tapaha, 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 and perform the austerities for thousands of years and all the knowledge was revealed to him. So that is how the kid should be trained to do some austerities, and that should be always under some authority, like father, mother, guru or spiritual master. They should be always under some authority. But on the name of giving them space, they are thrown away independently and which is spoiling the whole youth. If you see, just couple of 3-4 days back, I saw one newspaper article of one model, Shailin Chopra. She was writing that my father would have been proud today because she had given her nude photo in a Playboy magazine. She was thinking that my father would be proud of this, that I have given the nude photo in the Playboy magazine. So that is what giving the space gives, the independence gives the kids, that take to this extent. That is why children should be raised with love and affection, like what Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Maiya were giving Krishna and Balram. The full love and affection and time also. People say that give quality time to kids. For they are greedy of time. Not quality only. They need quantity also. They need their parents always with them. Okay. So today is the most auspicious occasion when Srila Prabhupada boarded Jaladuta. Actually, I was reading Lilamrita and I found that it was dream come true. It was really a dream come true. Not only the dream of Prabhupada, it was dream of Mahaprabhu. Prithviya Chetadiyad, Nagaradi Gram, Sarvatta Prachar Haibamiranam. Mahaprabhu wanted that his name should be broadcasted all over the world. That was the dream of Mahaprabhu. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, he gave the order to Prabhupada that print books and preach in English language to the Western world. And Prabhupada also, his whole life is dedicated to fulfill this one dream. And that particular dream came true this very day that he boarded the Jaladuta. If you see his life, his whole life was the life of preparation. If you want to discuss, you have to discuss the whole Lilamrit. But I'll start from where this chapter starts, dream come true. It's when Prabhupada was in Vrindavan and Radha Damodar temple, he had chosen the best of the places in the world to write the translation and the commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. The Samadhi Stali of Rupa and Jiva, the best place in the world where he could have written the translation. So he was writing the translation and purport, and he had completed most of the first volume. Only writing is the half battle. The other half is publishing. So publishing, he realized that from Vrindavan it was not possible. Vrindavan was a good place and very adequate for him to translate. But for publishing, he had to go to Delhi. So he decided to go to Delhi. So there was a brother of his who were actually discouraging him that why you are spending so much time and energy for writing this commentary? There are so many commentaries of the previous acharyas on Srimad Bhagavatam. Why do you want to write one more? But Prabhupada was firm in his determination. He has received the order from his Guru Maharaj and he wanted to fulfill it. He wanted that Srimad Bhagavatam should be written in English and then he can spread. But then when he came to Delhi, he realized that the commercial publishers were not interested in the 60-volume Bhagavatam because it was too big for them. They said that nobody will read this. But Prabhupada didn't want to compromise. He wanted the parampara presentation of 60-volume Bhagavatam. And then he had some contacts in Delhi, and amongst them one was Hit Sharan Sharma, guy for publication, because he knew that he was the secretary of J.P. Dalmia, the multimillionaire and a philanthropist. And he was also an owner of a press called Radha Press. So he thought that he will be the right person to help him. So he approached him. But then Hit Sharan Sharma actually gave him shelter. He he was staying at his Charam Sarama to help him. He tried to help him as many ways. But he said that if I simply tell Mr. Dalmia, he won't help you. So you should go to Gorakhpur and meet Hanuman Prasad Poddar, and he will actually help you in raising funds from Dalmia. So then Prabhupada traveled 475 kilometers from Delhi. And he was very much short of money, only 130 rupees in his pocket. And he went to Lucknow first, and he was down to 57 rupees only in his pocket. And then from there to Gorakhpur was 8 rupees again. But it was worth visiting Mr. Poddar. He explained his dream. He wanted to write Bhagavatam and spread this message of Krishna consciousness to the Western world in English. So then that person, Hanuman Prasad Poddar, he appreciated the work and that it should be helped and it should be supported. So he then arranged to send 4,000 rupees to Dalmia Trust, and it is to be used for Bhaktivedanta Swami's Bhagavatam publishing. Then Prabhupada came back to Delhi. He went to different printers. He didn't have that 4,000 rupees also were not enough to print the books. Prabhupada estimated at least 7,000 rupees to print the books. This is to raise funds. He had to go to the printers to request them if they can start the work. During that days, the printers used to take some advance and start work, and later on the debts were being cleared by the writer. So Prabhupada requested, he went to different printers, and he was not having money. He was literally traveling on by walking 2-3 kilometers or bus. So he was in the scorching heat of Delhi. He was going hither. He was traveling so much. He was old and not full, and is not in great of his health. Ultimately, by taking help of Hitcharan Sharma, he went to OK Press, gave them to publish the first volume, which he had written the manuscript in Vrindavan. And then, after much of effort, he got 100 books. He had published 1,100 books, but the money which he had given, the printer only gave 100 books. And he had to distribute all that book, collect the money to printer and binder, and get the books again. So that is how he collected all the books slowly and gradually. And simultaneously, he wanted to meet the important people and present his books to everybody. And he happened to meet Dr. Radhakrishna, who gave him the personal audience and agreed to read the book and write his opinion on the book. And Prabhupada distributed it to the major libraries, universities, schools, Ministry of Education, even US Embassy. He distributed it many places. And then he got many reviews from different people. And his God, scholarly God brother, "I have nothing but admiration for your bold and practical venture. If you should be able to complete the whole work, you will render a very great service to the cause of Prabhupada, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the country also. Do it and rest assured, there will be no scarcity of resources." Bhakti Saranga Maharaj, one of his other god brother, who used to write in his Sajjan Toshni, that "we expect that this particular English version of Sri Bhagavatam will be widely read, and thereby spiritual poverty of people in general may be removed forever. At a time when we need is very greatly, Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami has given the right thing. We recommend this publication for everyone's serious study." He got the reviews from many people like Vishwanath Das, the governor of VP. Then Economic Review praised that author was attempting the tremendous task. And then he also got the review from Vice President Jakir Hussain. He said that, "I have read your book, Srimad Bhagavatam, with great interest and much profit. I thank you again for kind thought which must have prompted you to present this to me." So this way he collected many reviews. He collected the support of many people from Delhi. and then he returned again back to Vrindavan. Actually, he made the 3 volumes of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he again went back to Vrindavan to write the second volume. And then after writing some of the manuscript pages, he came back again to Delhi. And then again it was LH Sugar Factory. The executive of that company gave 5,000 rupees donation to Prabhupada to publish his second volume. I'm not happy with how the first canto, the pace which it went, because it took almost 9-10 months to complete the first canto publishing. So he was not happy with the time. So now this time he personally was pushing people that it should quickly happen. And he was running around here and there. And people were seeing sannyasi going to printers and this. And people must have been having a thought in their heart that why this sannyasi doing work like raising money and distributing books, selling books. Why is doing so much? He is as good as us in the mendicant dress. That is why Prabhupada wrote in the preface to his second volume that, but actually there is gulf of difference between the two kind of activities. This is not a business enjoyment. On the contrary, it is an humble attempt to broadcast the glories of Lord at a time when the people need it very badly. So even though we are not in Himalayas, even though we talk of business, even though we deal in rupees and paisa, still simply because we are 100% servant of the Lord and are engaged in the service of the broadcasting the message of His glories, certainly we shall transcend and get through the invincible impasse of Maya and reach the effulgent kingdom of God to render Him face to face full bliss and knowledge. We are confident of this factual position, and we may also assure to our numerous readers that they will also achieve the same result simply by hearing the glories of the Lord. So he was assuring the readers that they will also achieve the same result simply by hearing. And in 1964 June, Prabhupada got Prime Minister Lal Bahadur Shastri, and he presented this book to Lal Bahadur Shastri, and Lal Bahadur Shastri said that, "Dear Swami, many thanks for your book. I am indeed grateful to you for presenting a copy of Srimad Bhagavatam to me. I do realize that you are doing valuable work. It would be good idea if the libraries in the government institution purchase copy of this book." And he gave, and there was one photograph also of Prabhupada presenting the book to Lal Bahadur Shastri, and both of them are smiling with Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhupada got that photograph also. And now he was concentrating on completing his third volume. So he returned to Radha Damodar temple again and started writing the third volume, which was describing the dealings of the last part of the first canto. So now, to raise the fund for the third canto, Prabhupada chose Bombay. Prabhupada thought that I'll go to Bombay and raise the fund for the third canto. Then he came to Bombay and he became a guest. He came to Prem Kutir Dharamshala, a free ashram where he stayed. But then Mr. Dalmia's, the family member, he actually called and he was a guest to them for 15 days. But now Prabhupada was having so many good reviews. He was having the photograph of Lal Bahadur Shastri. He was having the letter and the order of Jan. But still, in Bombay, he was finding difficult to raise the fund. So then he decided to meet Sumati Morarji. He had heard about Sumati Morarji from his godbrothers that she is a philanthropist and she has helped the Bombay Gaudiya Math also. So he went to Sumati Morarji's office, but he actually waited at the doorsteps, and he was sitting there for literally 5-6 hours waiting that when Sumati Morarji will come back, when her day will be over, I'll meet her. And when Srimati Morarji came down, she saw a sannyasi sitting on the steps. She asked Mr. Choksi that, "Who is this gentleman?" And then she approached Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He asked her, that he wanted the favor to publish this third volume of his first canto. And she said that today is too late, please come tomorrow, we'll discuss. And then next day she gave all the help Prabhupada needed. She said that whatever you need, you can take. And she told Mr. Choksi to help Prabhupada. And then when he got the assurance from Sumati Moraji, he went back to Vrindavan and finished whole manuscript work of Janmashtami in Vrindavan. So he arranged the big festival at Radha Damodar temple. He called the governor of UP, Vishwanath Das, to be the chief guest for the program. And it was a very successful program on the Janmashtami. The governor was so happy that he invited Prabhupada to his house in Lucknow. Prabhupada went there in Lucknow, and there he had called many kirtan singers also, and one of them was Mr. Shishir Bhattacharya. He was a young boy, young flamboyant kirtan singer, and he happened to meet Prabhupada, and he was very much impressed with Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And by collecting these funds, I'll just go to West and fulfill the desire of Mahaprabhu. Prithvi ache yata agi nadar adigram sarvatra pachar hoi bhimaranam. See, afterwards Prabhupada finished his manuscript in Vrindavan, and Prabhupada went to Mathura and he met Mr. Agarwal there. Mr. Agarwal was a wealthy businessman in Mathura, and Prabhupada said, your son is in US, so please, if you can sponsor my trip to US, that would be very nice. He was not expecting something from Agarwal, Mr. Agarwal, but he just said that to Mr. Agarwal, and he went to Bombay. And when he came to Bombay, now he needed money to go to West. Now he wanted money to go to West. So he wanted to sell all his book and raise the fund. So he met Paramananda Bhagwani, a librarian in the Jai Hind College, and he had different shops and different ashrams. He went to a store, a popular bookshop in Grant Road. He went to Sadhu Vila Ashram near Mahalakshmi Temple. He went to different places. But Prabhupada didn't got much response. People were not giving that much from Bombay. So he decided again to go to... Again, he wanted to go back to Delhi and raise funds over there. So he went to Delhi. He happened to get a call from External Affairs Ministry. He was surprised. And they gave him the NOC that Mr. Gopal Agarwal has sponsored you, and this is the NOC for you. So Prabhupada was very surprised that just that one statement to Agarwal gave him this. So now he had something to go to US. So now he applied for the passport with the help of Krishna Pandit from the Chippewa. He helped him to get the passport, and Prabhupada got the passport on June 10th. June 10th he got the passport. And he also requested Krishna Pandit if he can help for the tickets also. But Krishna Pandit refused to give him the ticket, as he said that according to Hindu principle, the sannyasi should not cross the ocean, so I won't be... And also the funds were too high for him to fund the tickets. So Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada got the sponsorship letter and the passport. So he now again went to Sumati Morarji in Bombay, and he requested Sumati Morarji and Mr. Choksi that they can help him in getting the fare to US. But first Sumati Morarji refused. She said that it's so cold out there, Swamiji will die there, it's so cold, you are so old and you are not in great of your health, so please don't go. You do your work of finishing Srimad Bhagavatam translation here. I'll give you all the help. You finish your Bhagavatam work here only. But pleaded, and ultimately she was ready to give her the ticket to US. And afterwards Prabhupada had to go through many things, P form, and that P form actually took, he had to get the visas also, and P form actually took a lot of energy of his. The visas he got, but On 28th of July 1965, he got the visa and permission from the State Bank of India that this person has not got excessive debts here, so he can go to US. So that permission letter, that P form, was taking a lot of time, and Prabhupada was head officers. He was staying at the colony of Srimati Morarji, is an Skindia company colony, and he tried his best. But afterwards, after so much of effort, he personally went to State Bank of India and requested the officer. Officer refused to give the P form. He said, your sponsor is a private person and not an institute, so we cannot give you the P form. But Prabhupada said, no, you cannot do with this me. Please take meet the manager over there. And that manager actually gave the P form to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada now had everything with him. And Srimati Morarji gave him the good news that on 13th of August, a day after Balramji appearance, you will be boarding Jaladuta from Calcutta. So Prabhupada went to Calcutta in train just a couple of weeks before. On 2nd he reached Calcutta, 3rd he reached Calcutta, 2nd he went from Bombay to Calcutta. He didn't find any place to stay, even though he had spent all his life there in that city, but he was not having place to stay. It was as he written in his Vrindavan Bhajan, I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything, but I have no one, no money, so they are fruitless glory. Where have my loving father and mother gone, my elders, who are my folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who all this is left of this family life is a list of names. So out of 100 people in Calcutta whom Prabhupada knew, Prabhupada chose Shishir Bhattacharya. He actually called Shishir Bhattacharya, whom he met just 1 year ago at Lucknow at governor's house. He must stay at his place and help him to give some classes or lectures in Calcutta for a week or so. And Shishir Bhattacharya was so fond of Prabhupada, and he immediately called him, and he sang and Prabhupada spoke, and they did different programs in different houses in Calcutta before going. And Prabhupada went on 6th of, took darshan of the samadhi of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, prayed to his lotus feet, and came back on the same day. And then came the day 23rd, 13th of July, 13th of August. Before that, Mr. Bhattacharya, he knew the importance of what Prabhupada was doing. So he actually tried and went to different newspaper, and he requested them to put this article in the news that a sannyasi is going to West, the first ever Vaishnav sannyasi is going to a popular newspaper. But nobody was willing to print that in their newspaper. Only one newspaper, Dainik Basumati, just print one small article of Prabhupada in our newspaper. He did so much for Prabhupada. And ultimately, Prabhupada on that day took a taxi. He was a little nervous. First time at this age he was traveling. But mere thought of the books was giving him the confidence. He was having 200 to go to US. And that was giving him the confidence. His belongings was only one suitcase, an umbrella, and some cereal. That was his belonging. The books were going to come in Cochin from Bombay directly. So then he boarded the Jaladuta, having nobody on the shore. Before that, he was having some friends and his son Vrindavan, who had come till the port, and they went back. But on the shore, only Mr. Shishir Bhattacharya was there. And he was also nobody to him. He was not a friend, not a disciple, not a relative. He was out of love for Prabhupada. He was there to bid him goodbye on the shore. Okay. And this was the day. Today is the day on which Prabhupada boarded Jaladuta. So we should pray to Prabhupada. There's so much effort and so much he has gone through just to give us these books, give us his books, and to preach Krishna consciousness greatness in Western world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sorry, I'm a little late.